All right, our reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse number 5. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm God's
investment.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm God's
investment.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, I'm God's Investment. I shared it on Monday night. I'm sharing it again today. That is our theme for 2019. Our theme for 2019, I'm God's investment. But before we go on, some of y'all know about investment. Some of y'all worked on jobs, you got 401k plans. And in having those 401k plans, they give you several plans to pick from. And what you're looking for is the best plan because you want to make sure you get the best return possible. But I want you also to understand, before you can invest in anything, you must be willing to pay for it. Because of the fact that it is not going to be free, it's going to cost you something. And what I get excited about is that when I think about what Jesus did, when I think about what he has done for us, I think about how he saw us, and he didn't see us as a bad investment. He saw us as a good investment. But when he saw us, we weren't at our best. We were at our very worst. It's like having a car that somebody's trying to sell for $10,000. All the tires are flat. There's dents all around it. And the windshield's cracked. Few windows are busted and the car barely starts, but they want $10,000 for it. That car will sit there a long time before anybody gives them $10,000. But if you look at it, the reality is that was us, y'all. We was toe up from the flow up. There was nothing good about us. We were so messed up. We were so self-indulged in what we were doing and so absorbed in our sin that we didn't give God the time of day. Whenever we got up, we ain't never say thank you, Lord. We went on about our business doing what we thought we was big and bad enough to do. But I am so thankful that even through all that, the Lord looked past all of our faults and he saw our need. You see, he knew that we were a good investment before we even knew we were good. That's what really excites me about this whole concept, is that God saw something in us that we didn't even see. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Because when you look at when you first came to the Lord, you weren't trying to do a whole lot. You just wanted to get up from under the mess that had you. But once you came, the Lord had already put a good investment in you. And then the Lord began to show you what he wanted you to do and how he wanted you to do it. And he gave you all of the tools that you needed to be an effective investment for him so that you would bring profitable returns. I want you to know every child of God ought to be bringing some good returns for the Lord. Now, what am I talking about? We talked about how he talks about, he uses the example of how a tree can bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Well, I want you to know, Broad Rock, we ain't trying to bring the 30-fold. We ain't trying to bring the 60-fold. We want to bring 100-fold on our investment that God has invested in us. Which, in essence, let me put it in dollars. If God invested 100 in you, then you ought to give God back 200. Somebody going to work with me. Because you understand that what the Lord has invested in you. But what happens to us sometimes is that life gets the best of us. Can we just be real this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we can't be nothing but real. You see, some of us started off excited about who we were in the Lord. We were moving forward in who we were in the Lord. Saw how the Lord was blessing us and using us and guiding us. But I want you to know along the way, you was on such fire for the Lord. I want you to know as you were going, somebody ain't like how hot you were for the Lord. So Brother Mo, folk were pulling out buckets of water, trying to douse your fire. They kept trying to tell you that you can't. They kept telling you you're wasting your time, but you were trying to keep your fire hot, but it just seemed like all of a sudden saturation of what they were pouring on you was starting to get the best of you. This is what happened to a young preacher called Timothy. We don't specifically know where Timothy was being utilized by God. Some folks say he was in Ephesus. Others say he was in other places. We don't specifically know. We think we know, but we don't know for sure. All right. But the one thing we do know is he was on the battlefield. Oh, yeah. And while he was on the battlefield, the Lord was using him in a mighty fashion. Yeah. But Deacon Rose, as the Lord was using him in a mighty fashion, don't you know the enemy ain't ever happy when God is blessing you?
That's right.
And what happened was that every so often folk kept pulling out them buckets, trying to douse that fire. But what happened was that his fire was starting to burn little rather than burn a lot. But then Paul got word while he's locked up in Rome, waiting to see what Caesar Nero was going to do. But still, rather than sit there and think about his own stuff, he took time to write this second letter to Timothy to make him aware of who he is, whose he is, and how he got to where he is, and how he is not to ever let his fire go dim. What Paul is saying to Timothy, y'all, and I want us to catch this, because he says to Timothy in verse number 5, he says, look, the faith that you have, I got to remind you, didn't start with you. It's a sincere faith, for one. And it's a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois. And as she came to Christ and gave her life, and as she continued to walk by faith and not by sight, and as the Lord was blessing her and growing her, she, and in turn, passed it on to her daughter Eunice, and which is your mother. And as it was passed on to Eunice, I want you to know that God was giving an increase, because Eunice now was doing even more than her mother, because the faith was growing in Eunice. And once Eunice had that same faith now was on you, Timothy. And I want you to know God gave you an increase because of your faith. And I want you to know that when the faith of God is in your household, my brothers and sisters, you ought to be able to pass that faith down to those in your household. And as it's passed down, we should see that faith increasing. We should see an increase in our territory. We should see the Lord doing a great thing in the ministry within our households and not just in our church. So what we're seeing is that Paul was reminding Timothy, God is the one that made it possible. And you saw the possibilities when you stepped out on faith. And now that you've stepped out on faith, he says, for this reason, I got to remind you to go on and rekindle. Do y'all see it? The gift of God. Now, why would you have to rekindle something if it's already burning hot? Oh, somebody gonna work with me. And because it wasn't burning hot, Paul was telling him, it's time for it to burn hot again. I know some stuff has happened that you ain't happy about. I know some folk have talked about you. I know others have ignored you. I know others whisper about you when you turn your back. But that is not the reason for you to stop being on fire for the Lord. Some folk don't like you being loud, Sister Penn. Others don't mind you. I mean, have a problem with you constantly saying, give God the praise. Others get mad when they see us standing up and starting to shout and clap our hands. Because they don't understand all that the Lord has brought you through. You see, only you know your story. And don't you dare let anybody come along and pour any water on your fire. And if they try to pour water on your fire, it ain't going to douse it. All they're going to do is create some steam. Because the fire is burning so hot, that little bit of water they're trying to put on it, Sister Fee, it ain't going to do near nothing. Oh, let's go on. And because of that, because we got to come back to this. The thing that is being told to Timothy is that, bro, God has invested in you. And since God has invested in you, don't you dare let nobody punk you. Since God has invested in you, don't you dare let anybody punk you. You know, as the Spirit moves you, you want to rise to your feet and clap your hands and just start shouting. Don't you let folk deep breaths or start whispering, I don't know why they're standing up. I don't know why they're making all that noise. Don't you dare call that to stop you from clapping. Don't you dare let that stop you from doing what you are doing. Don't you dare sit down and quench the Spirit. And when you're quenching the Spirit, it's like you putting your own fire out. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm a fire starter. And once I get my fire started, I'm going to keep my fire running hot. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care how you talk about me, because you don't understand. I realize how God has invested in me, how God is blessing me, how God brought me from a nothing and made something out of me. I won't dare put out a fire. I'm a fire starter, because the Lord started the fire in me, and I'm going to keep that fire burning hot. Do I got anybody in God's house that wants to keep that fire burning hot? Come on and go with me, y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I love you, but you ain't going to punk me. I love you, but you ain't going to punk me. God has done too much for me to allow me to let you punk me. He brought me too far for me to be punked right now. You see, the enemy been trying to punk me for years, and he was punking me for a good long time. But when the Lord opened up my eyes and I saw Jesus, and the Lord told me that he has made a way out of no way for me. Once he covered me in his blood, once he set me free, once he moved me out of where I was, he told me that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So there is no way in the world I'm going to let something in this world pump me, because what I got in me is greater than what's on the outside. Come on and go with me. We don't have a spirit of punkiness. A spirit of cowardice. We have a spirit. This is what God has given us. You see, God just didn't say he invested in us. Sister Violet, when he said he invested in us, he gave us the tools we had in order to be a profitable investment. He gave us three things. He said God hasn't given us a spirit of cowardice, but of what? Power, love, and a self-control or sound mind, whichever term. And we're going to break these all three down for you real quick and in a hurry. You see, one of the things that I want us to understand is that the people of God have power. The people of God have a spirit that gives us power. You see, don't you know wherever we go, we're supposed to bring upon change? Don't you know whenever we go, we're supposed to bring the light of Christ with us? Don't you know wherever we go, we get folk out of darkness and have them come to the light? Yeah. Don't you know wherever we go, when we open up our mouths, we start speaking of the power of our God and what our God has done, is doing, and will continue to do? We want to break the chains off of so many folk who have been bound by sin, because guess what? That one, at one point, wasn't that us in our lives? Somebody had to bring the power of God to us, because only the power of God can free us from a life of sin. And don't you know, when we have been freed from a life of sin, we realize it was nothing but the power of God. And what is inside of all of us right now is the power of God, because God's Holy Spirit has the what? Power. Because it comes directly from the Father through the Son, and it's in the Spirit, and that Spirit dwells in us. So since we have the power inside of us, we ought to move forward doing great things in the name of Jesus. And now that we got that power, there's something else we got. It's called love.
That's right.
God has given us a spirit of love. Real love sees past your fault and identifies your need. So that means that if we're in God's house and we say we love the Lord, that means I can't be hating on other folk. If I love the Lord, I can't hate you, because you'll suck your teeth at me. If I love the Lord, I can't hate you, because you ain't tell me good morning. If I love the Lord, I can't hate you, even if I know you're talking about me behind my back, because I know that the power of and the love that God has given me is greater and bigger than all that stuff you're trying to say about me. So I don't care if you're going to hate on me, I'm going to love you anyway. Do I got any folk in here that's going to love folk no matter how folk treat you? Because you know, if the Lord had treated us the way we treated him, don't you know we wouldn't be where we are right now? Because love started with God, stays with God, and ends with God. And if it had not been for the love of the Lord, where would we be right now? Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand it's the love of God that has brought me this far? It's the love of God that has turned me around. It's the love of God that allows me to clap my hands. It's the love of God that keeps me in my right mind. It was the love of God that woke me up this morning. It's the love of God that keeps a roof over my head. It's the love of God that brought me to this place safely. Do I got any witnesses that understand it's all tied up in the love of God? But come on, y'all, we got a little more to go. See, Brother Red, this is where we mess up. We move forward saying we got the power. We got the love. Until somebody step on our foot. Then we lose all kinds of control. We forget how to say hallelujah. And we say a little bit of everything else. You see, the Lord has given us power and love. But you got to know how to control yourself. And it's not you trying to do it, but it's you trusting God and doing it in you. And it's because you allow that spirit of power to move, and that spirit of love to move, then that spirit of self-control will take control of you when you allow the Lord to have you fully. You see, God wants us to have control of how we act. You know, if you fly off the flute every time somebody do something you don't like, where's your control? The Lord wants us to be a people who are in control. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you might falter every now and then. But listen to what I'm saying. Don't make that an excuse.
Preach, Pastor.
Are you hearing me, y'all? I ain't perfect. There's sometimes somebody cut me off, I might say, it's cool. I'm being real. Then there's other times somebody cut me off. Now, I ain't cussing them out. But I'm like, look at this fool. That's exactly what I say. My wife's a witness. But you understand what happens to us? It's about us grounding ourselves. Because the Lord has invested in us. God doesn't want us to have his power and his love and not know how to control ourselves. Then we wonder why the Lord only gives us a little bit. The reason why we only get a little bit is because we ain't doing nothing with the little bit God has given us. And then we're frustrated when we look at folk who come to church after we've come to church, and they now all of a sudden jump in here and pew, they take off, and we can't figure out why they took off and why I still just have this little bit. Because you haven't done nothing with that little bit in order for God to give you more. Because don't you know, if you ain't faithful with a little, how is God going to see you being faithful with a lot? If you can't utilize what you already have, how are you going to take more and do more with it? You see, my brothers and my sisters, God wants us to have control. So now that we understand the concept that the Lord has invested in us, he's invested one, a spirit that has multiple characteristics: power, love, and to help us control ourselves. But if you're going to fight the spirit say, well, I ain't going to take it unless you're willing to give it. And if we're willing to give it, then we can, he can move forward. You see, and the one thing that once we understand that we are an investment and that God has invested in us, the next thing that we have to understand is, what does God want us to do with what he has invested in us? You see, I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't know all about me, but that's all right. You see, I want you to understand, some of us would be shamed if you knew some more stuff about us. Some of us wouldn't shout if you knew more stuff about us. But I want you to know, so there's some folk that know some stuff about us, that whenever they come to church, we ain't going to stand up and shout. Because if we stand up and shout, they're going to look at us talking about, hypocrite. No, I ain't a hypocrite. I just made some mistakes in the past. I'm working on correcting myself. I'm working on getting better. I will not be ashamed of my mistakes of yesterday. Because if you ain't never made a mistake, raise your hand. You see, what I want you to understand is that what Paul is telling Timothy is that in verse number 8, bro, you can't be ashamed of Jesus. You know why you can't be ashamed of Jesus or me? Because folk look at Jesus and say, how can he be the Messiah if he was crucified? But they didn't understand that his whole purpose of crucifixion was right there showing his authority, because they didn't put him on the cross. He went to the cross. He stayed on the cross. And the sin of the world died on the cross with him. So what Paul is saying to Timothy, don't you dare be ashamed of the testimony of what the Lord has done. Don't you dare be ashamed and tell the folk, yeah, he's locked up right now, but he's locked up not because he did something wrong. It's because he's been doing the work of the Lord. Yeah. You see, so he said, don't you dare be ashamed. And don't you be ashamed for what you've done. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness. The Lord removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. So what is all this telling us? Is that you have no reason to be ashamed. And that's why you came to Jesus with tears in your eyes. That's why you came to Jesus broken. Because when you came, that's when you came ashamed. Because you realized what you were. And you wanted to get better. And you knew there was nobody else who could do it but Jesus. You know why? Because the Lord already had made a good investment in you while you didn't see no good in yourself. But now that you see good in you, don't you dare let nobody shame you and not being all that God has called you to be. Because I'm God's investment. And since God has invested in me, he's given me the tools in order to be utilized, to utilize the tools to be the best that I can be for him. I'm bringing the Lord some profitable returns. Do I got any other folk in here that want to bring God some profitable returns? You understand that the Lord has invested in you. The Lord has blessed you. So what the Lord now wants from you is the best you have to offer.
Yeah.
So what Paul is telling Timothy, don't be ashamed, bro.
Good.
Because you got to understand something. I'm going to read verse 9 for you. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling? Not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace. The mistake that happens to some folk in church is that we get churchified. What do I mean when I say churchified? Because when we first came to church, we were so toe up from the flow up. And we saw how the Lord has brought us a mighty long way. And we get so caught up in folk telling us, oh, the Lord sure has blessed you. Oh, the Lord is blessing you. You see, that's church folk talking to you. But when they start talking to you, you don't absorb that. You say, we give God the glory. Yeah. But when you start absorbing what church folk talk to you, then you're getting churchified. And when you're churchified, then you all of a sudden start thinking about the reason why I am where I am is because I'm all that a bag of chips and a shake on the side. Because of the fact that so many folk keep telling me how good I am, David. So now I done got churchified. So now I can walk around. Yes, I'm just all this. Yes, I'm just all that. But what I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, you are not where you are because you're all that. You are where you are because of the grace and mercy of God. Because the Lord is the one who saw you and wants you to be a good investment. And he wants you to bring him a great return. But you can't bring him a great return as long as you're being churchified. Don't ask me how to spell it. I just made it up. So as we see this, every last one of us up in here has a purpose. Start moving in your purpose. But the problem, Phil, some of us have is that how can God have such a great purpose for me? Don't he know what I've done? Don't he know where I've come from? That's why he said, according to his purpose and grace. Which means is that God has given us the grace that we need in order to function according to the purpose he called us to. So don't you dare beat yourself up for where you fell short. Because all have fallen short of the glory of God. So it's time for you to move forward in your purpose because the Lord has given you what?
Grace.
Deacon Jones, I wonder how many folk aren't functioning in their purpose because of the fact that they're ashamed about what they've done in the past. But you got to understand it's God's grace. You couldn't work for it. You didn't deserve it. It's an unmerited gift. Because God says you are my investment. And I know what you've done wrong, but I'm here to get you right. And if you are willing to get right, I'm going to show you the great things I'm going to do in you, through you, and around you. The Lord understands that he's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for folk that are going to move forward in their purpose and understand that they got the grace of God allowing them to move ahead and do what he's calling them to do. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, lift up your hand. You see, because I want you to know you've been walking around with your head down too long. I don't care how many folk know what you was. I want you to know that God has given you what? Purpose. And you can do that purpose because he's given you what?
The power to do it.
No, no. Grace, grace. Work with me. Work with me, y'all. Don't get lost. Stay with me. Grace. Grace. Purpose. Grace. And then he goes on a little bit further just to elaborate. He says, this grace, I'm still in verse 9b. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. But in verse 10, it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. So, I mean, who abolished death and brought what? Life and immortality to light through what? So don't you understand that our lives was taking us to a death that was sending us to hell. But don't you know Jesus took the sting out of death? Don't you know Jesus has made a way for us that when we leave this earth, we are now transitioning to be with the Father and have immortality? To have life eternal? Don't you know the Lord came so that you and I could have life? Don't you know he invested in us by giving his life so that we could have life and have it everlasting? When you look at what the Lord has done for us and how he did it and why he did it, it's nothing but love.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is take what God has invested in us and share it with other folk so that they will come to know what we know, that we are God's investment, and we ought to bring God some profitable returns. Because it's about life, not about death. It's about immortality. It's about God bringing light through the gospel. And if God has brought us to light, then don't you know that God has called and given us a purpose? And what Paul was reminding Timothy is that, look, bro, my purpose is to be a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. Those are my purpose. But he said, but Timothy, you have a purpose. And he said, even though I might suffer some stuff in verse 12, he is saying that even though I might suffer some things, I'm going to be all right. Because I know I've entrusted it to God.
Yeah.
And I know that God's going to guard it as he's going to guard me and bring me through until such time when he and I will see each other face to face.
Yeah.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know that I thank God that he's also our guard?
Yeah.
I thank God that he is also the one that watches over us. I thank God that he is there with us through thick and through thin. I thank God that he sees something in us that we couldn't see in ourselves. And now that the Lord has brought us a mighty long way, it is time for us in 2019 to move forward and be an investment for the Lord by bringing him profitable returns.
Yeah.
Returns that ain't going to just come today and be gone tomorrow, but a return that's going to last. Because don't you know, whatever we do for Christ, it will what?
Last.
So if we do it for the Lord, it's going to what? Last. Don't you know, if we are being good investments for the Lord, it's going to what?
Last.
So I'm saying to you right now, my brothers and my sisters, what are you doing that's going to last for the Lord? Are you talking about folk, or are you praising God? Are you sharing the gospel, or are you throwing folk under the bus? But what I'm here to tell you, I don't care what you did before, but from this day forward, I am not going to be an obstacle. I'm going to create opportunities because I'm an investment of God. And since I'm God's investment, I'm going to be the very best I can. I'm going to do all that and then some, because he did all that and then some for me. Do I got anybody that's hearing what I'm talking about? Do I got anybody that understands how good our God is, where he brought you from, where he's taking you to? You see, when you think about it, I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, we got to stop talking about it, but we're going to be about it. It's time for us to be about it. It's time for us to challenge ourselves. In 2019, the Lord is doing a great thing in this church. He is moving us to do things and see things we've never seen or have done before. But I want you to understand, don't get worried about it. You just trust in God and step out on faith. Because as long as we're standing on his holy word, the Lord will make a way. The Lord will open doors. The Lord will knock down walls. The Lord will sustain us. The Lord will maintain us. The Lord will provide for us. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands how good our God is and what our God is going to do in his people when we put our trust in him? Why? Because I'm God's investment. And since God invested in me, he did not set me up for failure. He set me up for success. So do I got anybody else in God's house who wants to move forward in success? And God is setting you up for success. It's time for you to go and be successful. It's time for you to be an investment for the Lord. Let it be known on the highways, on the byways, wherever you go, I serve a mighty good God, and his name is
Jesus.
I'm God's